Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. My guest today is Scott Ritter, and Scott is going to talk about voter fraud in the 2020 election. Now, voter fraud has been discussed for even before the election happened. What are your views?
Well, first of all, we need to be clear that, officially speaking, that there's been no documented, certified instance of voter fraud on the scope and scale which could have altered the election. That's the official position. And so anybody who suggests otherwise, is immediately called a conspiracy theorist or leading an insurrection, causing sedition, et cetera. But the thing that people need to understand, and this is something that's been set forth by the courts themselves, by the Supreme Court and other federal jurisdictions, the perception of voter fraud is as dangerous as the actual fraud, because the perception of a fraudulent election creates a situation where the people, and in a democracy, the people, their will is expressed through their vote, is what sustains the democracy. And if the people lose confidence in the viability of their vote, then they lose confidence in their system of government. So regardless of where one stands on the issue, whether you believe that there was no fraud or you believe there was a tremendous amount of fraud, I think everybody needs to agree that we are in a unique circumstance in American history where a presidential election is deemed fraudulent by a significant percentage of the American people. They perceive that fraud took place. Now, this perception doesn't come from a vacuum. Back in, I believe, 2007, former President Jimmy Carter and former Secretary of State James Baker supervised a commission looking at U.S. elections, and one of the recommendations they made, one of the observations they made, is that mail-in voting needs to be avoided at all costs because it has the greatest potential for being exploited for fraudulent uses during an election. And this is what they said, and yet, because of the pandemic this year, many states went beyond absentee balloting to implementing what they call unsolicited mail-in ballots, where they used voter registration logs to send ballots out to voters who didn't request it. Normal absentee balloting, I used to do it when I was in the military. You request a ballot. There's a whole procedure. They send you a ballot, and there's certifications that have to take place, and you mail the ballot in. Here they unsolicitedly mailed out ballots, and in many cases, more than one ballot was mailed out to a voter. And in many cases, they mailed ballots out to voters who were dead, voters who had left the state, voters who weren't eligible to vote. And the president, Donald Trump, decried this and said, no, this will lead to a fraudulent election. Now, he had no evidence that it was, other than the fact that smart men and women have looked at this and said that unsolicited mail-in balloting in particular, creates the potential for fraud. So the president called it out beforehand, pretty much predicted what was going to happen on election night. He said, I'm going to win the in-person voting, and then the counting's going to stop, and they're going to bring in the unsolicited mail-in balloting, and they're going to count the votes until their candidate wins. That's when he said was going to happen, and events unfolded in a way that can be interpreted as that happening. People say that's not what happened. It's simply a delay in counting the vote, et cetera. But the bottom line is, because of this unsolicited mail-in balloting, the perception now exists among tens of millions of Americans that fraud took place on such a scale that the wrong person is being credited with winning the election. And so, we live in very turbulent times right now. Usually after a presidential election, by this time of December, the incoming administration is well into its transition. The outgoing administration is cooperating fully to ensure that there's a smooth, peaceful transition of power. Here we have a situation where the president has yet to concede, and his administration, in many ways, is working against the Biden, the transition team of President-elect Biden. And we have a situation where on January 6th, the vice president is overseeing a process of certifying the election that may, in fact, result in the election being nullified, decertified. And that could lead to chaos in this country.
Oh, a couple of questions, Scott. You said unsolicited mail-in ballots. How do you know that? I mean, what proof is there that there was such an event happening?
Well, the proof is in the legislation. I mean, there's no question. This is not a debate. It's not that I'm speculating or I'm. We know this summer, because of the pandemic, many legislatures instituted new mail-in balloting rules. And the way they did it isn't to expand the absentee balloting, some places did, but to do what they call unsolicited mail-in balloting, where they mail the ballot out to people who didn't ask for the ballot. I think maybe my numbers might be wrong here, but 35 states instituted something. This 8 or 9 of the states did the unsolicited mail-in balloting, including all the states that are so-called controversial states: Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Arizona. These people had unsolicited mail-in balloting, and these are the states where there's a lot of concern about the election results, at least concern on the part of the Trump administration.
Okay, you're saying that the election could still be overturned. If that happens, then what?
Well, first of all, let's talk about that process and why this potential is even there. The Vice President of the United States is the President of the Senate under the 12th Amendment of the Constitution. Is responsible for opening the slates of electoral representatives that have been sent to Washington by the states, and then verifying, confirming that these slates, counting them, and basically getting Congress to agree that this is the result of the election. We have a couple situations, though. We have a situation, for instance, in Pennsylvania right now, where the Pennsylvania legislature has just published a report that says that around 200,000 more people voted than, or more, 200,000 more votes were counted in Pennsylvania than people who voted. And they are calling for the decertification of the Pennsylvania slate. In Georgia, you have a very serious case brought forward that documents 135,000 illegal votes that were done in Georgia, votes that were counted, but they were votes that shouldn't have been counted. And I think similar cases are being put together in Michigan, Wisconsin, and in Arizona. We have a situation where there's a challenge to the Electoral College slates, the candidates who have been sent in, and Mike Pence could be in a position where he says, no, we're not going to accept this, and then turn it over to Congress to resolve. He can reject the Electoral College voting, turn it over to Congress, where Congress can say, well, wait a minute, the House of Representatives, there's a Democratic majority. No, it goes to the states, and the state legislatures make a decision on voting. And the majority of the states in the United States are controlled by Republican legislatures, mm-hmm. and so there's a reason to believe that they would support Donald Trump. And then there's other. If you read the 12th Amendment, it gets into various iterations of what can be done, et cetera, if no resolution is had. But the bottom line is, in the mind of many Republicans, this is far from over. That January 6th is a very important date. If Mike Pence does, in fact, challenge the results, this could lead to massive, massive civil disobedience on the part of, Democrats and people who feel that what Pence is doing is stealing the election away from the 80-some-odd million people who voted or at least whose votes were counted, or votes that were counted for Joe Biden. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, even just mainstream Democratic protesters will come to the streets, and there could very well be violence. I was speaking with friends who work in Washington, D.C., and they've been ordered to stay home on January 6th out of concern for the potential of violence. So, we live in very interesting times. I'd like to believe that we're going to get through this peacefully, and that we will have a peaceful transition of power, if that in fact is what occurs, or a peaceful sustainment of power. Once you resort to violence, nothing good comes from that. We live in a situation where the country is fundamentally divided on this issue. 74 million people voted for Donald Trump. 80-some-odd million votes were counted for Joe Biden. People claim that a good percentage of those votes weren't cast legally. But the bottom line is a significant number of people voted for each candidate. And, what we don't need is for a permanent divide to be created between these two camps, because, that leads us down the path of conflict. It doesn't lead us down the path of, working together as citizens united by a single constitution in a single country.
If you put on CNN or MSNBC, they both portray Trump as a sore loser. But the important question is, what's Biden's reaction to all of this?
Well, the Biden camp, is adamant that they won the election. And that they're proceeding towards a transition. Joe Biden came out the other day and was very critical of the Department of Defense and the Office of Management and Budget for failing to adequately, work with his transition team. He accuses the Department of Defense of withholding sensitive briefings that are essential if there's going to be a efficient transfer of power. This is something people should understand. Chris Miller, the new acting Secretary of Defense, is someone who is closely aligned with Donald Trump, and he's stacked the Department of Defense, the civilian leadership of the American military, with people who are inclined to believe that President Trump had the election stolen from him. So, this is while the Department of Defense claims that these briefings are held back because of scheduling problems and they're overworked during the holidays, et cetera. The fact is that we have an active, ongoing efforts by the Department of Defense to not participate in the transition efforts for Joe Biden. What that means in terms of what they're preparing for, hopefully nothing. But the fact is that the president declares if Mike Pence does something on January 6th that invalidates the Electoral College, and the president makes a move, and there is violence, we could very well see martial law imposed. And when you have a civilian leadership, because remember, the generals don't get to make a damn decision, excuse my language. They don't get to make the call. The call is made by civilian leadership. And constitutionally, the generals must obey a lawful order given to them. That doesn't mean they have to like the order. But if Chris Miller and Vice President Pence and President Trump and people can make a constitutionally viable argument citing both the 12th Amendment processes and the U.S. law of 3 U.S. Code Section 15 that gives the Vice President, that enumerates the Vice President's powers during the vote count, and they say that the Vice President, in accordance with the rule of law set forth by the Constitution, deems the Electoral College vote to be invalid, and now there's violence in the streets, the military has to obey the lawful orders. And if they don't, that leads to civil war. So, these are very trying times right now, very dangerous times. I think a lot of Americans who watch CNN and MSNBC don't understand just how dangerous this is. CNN and MSNBC treat Donald Trump as a joke. They've been part of the resistance movement against Trump for the past 4 years. They've never given this president a chance. They rightfully criticize him when he deserves criticism. participated in, exaggerating, claims of malfeasance against the president. And they don't report the news. They basically, paint a narrative of anti-Trumpism. And so, right now they're treating everything the president does as, an illegitimate joke. On January 6th, the joke may come to a screaming halt, and it becomes very real.
For people who watch CNN and MSNBC, if what you're saying actually comes to fruition, there's going to be a lot of absolutely shocked people, and they won't know what to do come January 6th. That's troublesome.
It's very troublesome. I think Americans take a lot of things for granted. But in order for democracy to work, everybody has to be on the same page. The rule of law only works when everybody respects the rule of law. I would strongly advise people to read the 12th Amendment and then read 3 U.S. Code Section 15 to understand what's going to happen on January 6th and why it's not inconceivable that the vice president may invalidate the Electoral College results. If the Pennsylvania legislature passes a piece of legislation that is forwarded to the vice president challenging the Pennsylvania, the slate of electors, the vice president is well within his rights under the Constitution, under U.S. law, to invalidate the election results. If I were advising the vice president, I would say don't do it. I mean, we have history that shows, Richard Nixon could have successfully challenged JFK's victory back in 1960 in that election. There was ample evidence of fraud. But for the greater good of the nation, he chose not to, so as to maintain the perception of a peaceful transition of power. And that perception is what keeps this country together. Sometimes politicians have to put their personal ambitions aside. And if I were advising President Trump, I would say, just say you lost the election and then work to make sure the next election is better than this one. But, just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. And, the vice president taking actions that may be constitutionally justifiable on January 6th that lead to widespread violence up to and including the potential for civil conflict, that's not the right thing to do. We don't need that in this country. We don't want that in this country.
Democrats are unaware of the fact that state legislatures control of a lot of what's going on. For instance, reapportionment and stuff. So people are concerned in watching what goes on, in Congress and in presidential elections, but they're unaware of state legislative races. Do they do so to their own detriment?
Well, we now see that they do. If you think the world revolves around Washington, D.C., you don't understand how this country works. This country is a union of 50 states. And the way this country was cobbled together, the whole, go back to American history and understand, that when we were first formed after the Revolution, we were a confederation of states with a very weak federal government. And then after the Confederation proved unable to govern efficiently, we then had constitutional convention and we became a federal republic. Where we did give the executive branch and Congress a tremendous amount of power, but at the end of the day, anything that is not enumerated in the Constitution as being a federal power is automatically assumed to be a power given to the states. So the states have a lot of power, and even the Constitution gives the states, tremendous authority. For instance, under the 12th Amendment, the state legislatures are the ones that are empowered to determine the electoral slates. We tend to forget that. The election is a bit of theater. That that when we cast our vote, we're simply making a suggestion to you know, to the legislatures that this is who should be president. But the legislatures have the right to, you know, not hold an election and just appoint their own, you know, appoint their own, you know, electoral representatives. Now, they wouldn't last very long because they do have to be elected by the people. And if they show, you know, that they have an indifference to the will of the people will vote them out. But there's a lot of power in state legislatures that, that most Americans are unaware of. I mean, again, Americans should ask themselves honestly, when they vote, and they make that vote for the state assemblyman or the state senator, do they really know that person? I mean, they may know who they're voting to be the U.S. senator or the U.S. congressional representative, but have they really studied the state legislature person? Or are they just checking off somebody because they saw an ad or because they're a Democrat or a Republican? Do they truly know what this person stands for? And the answer for the most part is no. And so, you know, we end up with a body of representatives at the state level who have these powers, and we don't necessarily understand what those powers are or, you know, what their actual, you know, role is. We just live our lives assuming the things are going to work.
So if what you're saying actually does happen, CNN and NBC have not alerted the people to the potential of violence on January 6th. In the event that what you're saying does happen, how do you think they'll cover it?
Well, they'll cover it as a coup by Trump. I mean, that's how they're already positioning themselves. They won't, for a second, engage in responsible discussion and dialogue about, you know, the constitutionality of his actions. They'll just simply say this is a man who lost an election, who's seeking to hold on to power at all costs, and basically he's carrying out a coup against American democracy. If the president takes constitutional shortcuts, if he does things that he's not empowered to do, I would agree with him. But again, read the 12th Amendment, read 3 U.S. Code Section 15, and understand, that is the only basis upon which to judge Mike Pence on January 6th. That is what he's authorized to do. That's what he's empowered to do. That's what he's mandated to do. And if Mike Pence operates within the four corners of the law as set forth, commence, or those two written procedures, then everything he's doing is constitutional. You may disagree with it violently, but it doesn't mean that it's illegal. And I don't think CNN or MSNBC have done a good job. I don't think the mainstream media has done a good job of educating the American people about what's really going on January 6th and what the potential is. I also don't believe they've done a good job of elaborating the concerns that do exist about this election. Basically, you know, we have a situation where every time somebody speaks out about the legitimacy of this election, they're, you know, for instance, if you put out a tweet, you get a little warning. You know, this election has, you know, been certified already. This is a controversial statement. But it doesn't mean that it's factually incorrect. For instance, the Pennsylvania State Legislature sent out a tweet about, you know, its findings. These are factual findings. And Twitter immediately put their little warning down there as if Twitter has the right to say that the Pennsylvania State Legislature doesn't get a say on the legitimacy of the election count, as if Twitter has a, you know, is the higher moral authority. It's not. Twitter's not. Facebook is not. Google is not. These are private enterprises that have no legal authority, no legitimacy, no, you know, anything. And yet Americans are looking and going, oh, well, Twitter says that this is bad. CNN has no moral authority or legal authority. Who cares what Jake Tapper or Wolf don't need to understand? These talking heads on TV simply don't count. Their opinion doesn't matter, and that's all they have. They're no longer reporting the news. They're reporting opinion is shaped by their executives, and that's why I think people might wake up on January 6th to find a whole different reality, the reality of law, of constitutional law, and that's the danger. The American people need to understand that the onus is on them to educate themselves. It's not on Jake Tapper to tell them what's going on, Wolf Blitzer to tell them what's going on. It's on them to read the Constitution, to read the relevant U.S. laws, and then to engage in responsible debate, dialogue, and discussion that's unmoderated by Twitter, Facebook, Google, YouTube, and any of these other institutions, private institutions, seek to censor the thought of private citizens. Because once you concede that, once you concede the ability to deem your own beliefs viable, you cease to function as a citizen.
Wow. So there's just a little while between now and January 6th. Is there something that the people in this country should, is there something that they could do to prepare for this?
Well, I mean, look, if I were a Democrat who lived in a state with a Republican legislature, and I believe that the Republican legislature was getting ready to intervene, I would be letting my voice be known. I would make sure that the representatives understood there would be a price to pay at the next election for this decision. The same thing if I were a Republican and I believe that I wanted the legislature to do this, I would make sure that they understood that if they fail to act in accordance with the law, as I personally believe it is, then I will hold them accountable. That's the only thing that makes this country work, is if the people hold those whom they elect to higher office accountable for their actions. That's how democracy works. There's going to be some people who have one point of view, others who don't. The majority wins. That's what I would do, because otherwise, to sit back and watch CNN, you're yielding your citizenship to Wolf Blitzer. You're yielding your citizenship to Jake Tapper. You're yielding your citizenship to the board that runs CNN that has already made a political decision that Joe Biden is the president-elect. They don't have the right to make that political decision. They're not political players, but they've become political players. And we the people cannot yield our authority as citizens to anyone. And I'm saying this to both Democrats and Republicans. I'm saying this to people who may believe in something that I don't believe in. Don't sit back and do nothing. I'm not talking about going to the streets and getting violent. I'm talking about take the opportunity between now and January 6th to make sure your elected representatives know full well what your position is. Not the position that's filtered through Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer and company, but your position. Contact them directly. That's the only thing that makes this country work, is active citizens.
Okay, Scott, our time is just about over, but I want to get you back right after January 6th and, to talk about exactly what transpired and what it means to the American public. So
okay,
I look
super.
Forward.
I'd be glad to.
Yeah. I look forward to talking with you in the new year. Have a wonderful new year, and thank you, everybody, for listening. And this is All Exits Closed. I'm Cynthia Pooler. If you like this show, follow us on Twitter. Thanks, Scott. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.